originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you are able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest this evening graduated from the Puerto Rican Jockey School, has been leading rider at Calder and Gulfstream several times. He's won multiple graded stakes victories, a few of those aboard the Georgie Navarro-trained Sharp Azteca. He's currently coming back from an injury. We will be seeing him back in the winner's circle again soon with 1,297 wins and over $33 million in earnings. It's a pleasure to introduce jockey Edgard Zayas. Edgard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christina, for having me. And hi to everyone. I'm so glad to be on the show.
First things first, Edgard, how are you doing? I know you had an injury, a spill at Gulfstream the end of this past December, and had to fracture your leg. I know that probably hasn't been an easy recovery, but how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm recovering faster than what I thought, and I'm hoping just to be back on the saddle soon. I just can't wait. I'm just so anxious already, and my leg is doing awesome. I have an appointment 25th, and hopefully from there I get a release to start working out horses in the morning, and after that I'll be back on the saddle soon.
Thank God, Edgard. We've been missing you. I know I as a now horse player, I love playing you on the races. You know Gulfstream so well. You get so many horses to the wire in front, sometimes that maybe shouldn't. You know the track like the back of your hand. Now tell us, that spill in December, did you have to have surgery on your leg?
Yes, I had a rod put in my leg. So the rod's just going to stay in my femur, and hopefully nothing happens, you know, and there's no complications later on. And thanks to that rod, it just recovered so fast, because I just heard some stories of broken femurs that take so long to recover just because they put it on together and just let it heal for more than 6 months. But with that new technology of putting a rod in, it takes from 3 to 4 months to recover. So I think that's a very good help for us.
Definitely. Now you just have to worry about going to the airport. You'll set off the metal detectors. That's all.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, when is your expected comeback?
I'm hoping to be back, and I'm planning to be back probably the first week of April.
Nice.
So beginning of April, I hope to be back on the saddle and racing. So I'm expecting at least at the end of this month, right, to start working on horses and getting fit and all that. I've been doing therapy 3 times a week since the day I went down. So I've been working out every day, and every week I'm just getting like more exercises and stronger exercises. So I'm coming in pretty fit already. I just need to get horses in the morning to get better. And other than that, I'm expecting the first week of April to just be back in the saddle.
Good. We can't wait to see you come back, Edgar. Now, bet you're just itching to get back, but was there ever any moments hesitation with coming back? Was that ever in your mind of, worried it'd be too hard to make a comeback? Any kind of doubt?
Not at all. Since the first day I went down, I just wanted to be back in the saddle. It's just an instinct that you have. It's just you don't want to leave. Horse racing is so awesome, and once you're in it, you just can't leave it. And I'm young, and I know I'm gonna recoup very fast, and I'm gonna heal fast. And I'm very anxious for this day since the day I went down. I just can't wait to get back in the saddle. As much as I love spending time with my family, and I've had a great time with them, but I just can't wait to get back in the saddle.
Well, let's talk about your family for a little bit here, Edgar. Now, you have a little daughter. Tell us how old she is and what's her name.
Her name is Lillian, and she is 23 months right now, so she is very close to be 2 years old, and she is adorable.
Watch out, terrible twos, Edgar. Is she a good baby?
She is an awesome baby. I just enjoy her so much, and I'm sure she's enjoying having her daddy home every day, and I'm sure she's going to miss me when I go back, but I'm always here for her. I always spend a lot of time with her and my wife, and she's been awesome with me, and she's been taking really good care of me, and without them, I don't know what would have done for this injury.
What's your wife's name, and how did you two meet?
Her name is Ashley. And we met through the track through mutual friends. And one time we were out and we met each other, and that's how it all started from there.
Love at first sight.
We've been together. Yep, we've been together for 5 years and been living together for about three and a half years and have this beautiful baby now.
That's wonderful, Edgar. How old are you?
I'm 25 years old right now. She is 25 years old, too. I'm about to be 26 on June 27.
Almost 26. Well, you've done a lot already in 26 years on this earth, Edgar. Now, let's take it back. You were 26 years ago. You were born in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And how was that growing up there? What was that like?
Puerto Rico right now is getting better really fast. I was there last week, and it looks like everything's getting back to normal, and my family's doing awesome, thank the Lord. And other than that, Puerto Rico is a beautiful island to visit all the time. And hey, I know it just got hit so hard with this hurricane and all that, but with all the help they've been getting and all that, it's just recuperating so fast, and I'm glad with that, because I really suffer a lot from that hurricane.
Yeah, so much devastation there. Now, what was it like growing up with your family? Did you have a large family, lots of brothers and sisters?
Not a brothers and sisters, but I have a large family of cousins, because my mom has 11 brothers and sisters. So
wow.
I had a lot of cousins all the time. So my family is a pretty big family, and I had a good family childhood, and they're all close together, so I really appreciate family a lot. It's just awesome to have your family around you all the time. There's no better people than your own family.
Yeah. What kind of a kid were you growing up?
I've been very active all the time, kid. I have always loved sports, and I actually wasn't into horses too much until I was like 13 or 14 years old. I was into other sports like track and field, basketball, volleyball. But when I got like to 14 years old, I I used to live very close to the track, and my grandpa used to take me a lot to the racetrack, and I started watching the races, and I thought, you know, the jockeys were pretty interesting. You know, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool job to have. And I knew I was small, and I had the perfect weight for it, and I was pretty athletic of it. And I was pretty good at every sport I did. So I was like, oh, I'll just give it a try. And I signed up for the jockey school, and it all started from there. And the jockey school, I was 2 years in the jockey school, and I didn't ride in Puerto Rico. I came straight to the United States from there.
Now, did you have any family involved in the industry?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I'm the one and only.
Now, prior to attending the jockey school, had you ever ridden a horse?
Just probably a couple times. Not like a lot. Probably I got on horses. I can count with my finger the times I got on a horse before going into jockey school. After going into jockey school, I got so much into it that I got like a horse to take care of it over my house and all that. But before getting to jockey school, I probably got like 20-15 times on a horse.
Wow. So that had to be a bit of a shock. A lot of a learning experience for you just attending the jockey school, pretty green, I'm sure. Was it hard for you to learn?
It was. But I really, you know, I really like that jockey school in Puerto Rico. They teach you everything from what is, you know, taking care of a horse to just riding a horse on a race to galloping horses. It's just very, it really helped me a lot, especially that I didn't know nothing about it. So it really got me from the beginning all the way, you know, to getting on a horse and how to make it run. So, yeah, it was a little bit rough at the beginning, but I had a lot of interest, and I put a lot of work and effort on it, and I got it done. And I think that's why you need a lot of effort and responsibility and a lot of passion for the horse racing.
Yeah, the Puerto Rican Jockey School has a great reputation. Other than yourself, several other big names have come out of there. Any other names we would know from your class?
Yeah, in my class was Manuel Franco, Victor Carrasco, Jorge Vargas, Devian Toledo. There are, of the names that you can recognize and have been very successful, those are the guys that came out of my class. My class was a pretty small class, probably like 11 graduates. I feel it was a pretty successful class. It came out to a lot of jockeys that have been winning consistently, which is awesome. I'm so happy for them, and it's just amazing. I'm so glad to be part of that class for.
Now, you said 11 graduates. Did you start off with a bigger group? Did anyone decide it just wasn't for them?
Yeah, we started off like with 17. Wow. And only 11 at the end graduated. You know, through the 2 years, a couple of them, you know, just don't come back, or they don't make the weight, or so they just start cutting off people. Normally in the jockey school in Puerto Rico, they get around 17 to 18 students, and at the end of the year, you'll graduate with 10 or 9 students. You know, some of them just can't keep up the weight, and some of them just, you know, realize that's not for them.
Survival of the fittest, right? Now, what was that day-to-day schedule like? You mentioned you had your own horse to take care of, so obviously you're learning from the ground up. You're learning how to actually care for the animal, not just ride the animal. And what all did they teach you?
Well, yeah, we started, you know, with our assigned horse, and we got to every morning take care of the horse and bathe them. And after that, at least the first year, they start taking you, getting you on a horse, but they'll walk you, and then they'll make you get on the horse, but with no saddle. So every instructor has their own style, but the instructor I had, he started us with no saddle on a horse, just getting on the horse with no saddle and just the reins, that's it, and get some balance like that. And after 9 in the morning, we'll just go to class, in the classroom we'll have an English class, we'll have a exercising class, and then we'll have a class that will just talk about horse racing history and horse racing the theories, like plans for how to plan races and all that. So I think it's an awesome school to learn, especially if you're starting from not knowing anything.
Yeah, they've got it pretty much covered there with the classes you mentioned, Edgar. Now, for you, was it hard not having a lot of riding experience? Then you're riding horses bareback. Did you have difficulties maintaining your balance in the beginning?
Yeah, it was a little hard to keep my balance at the beginning, but once you get the hang of it and just you get the rhythm of it, it's all about the rhythm. And once you get it, it just goes easy from there. And other than that, once you learn how to ride, it's just about how smart you are in a race and what good decisions you can make. So it's about how you can study jockeys and study horses and know the horses. And I think that's a big part, really, about how good you can ride and how strong you are. If you can outsmart the other jockeys, that's the big part in it.
Now, towards the end, would you all race against each other? Did they have any kind of schooling races?
Yeah, when you're in the second year of the jockey school, they have some mock races. So every other Friday, the apprentice will have to go through the barns and look for rides. So they'll do a 5-furlong race. So you'll try to, to get horses that are going to work out like 5-furlongs from the gate. And they'll do races in the morning that they'll record just for the school. And then they'll be like a test. They'll give you a grade depending on how you perform in the race and what decisions you made and how you look and how was your position. And it's pretty cool, yeah. It was pretty exciting. And you have to do the agent work too, because you have to go through the barns looking out for your mount.
Oh yeah, so they teach you how to be an agent on top of everything else.
Yeah, you learn how to be an agent too, because you gotta go around looking for your mount for the jockey races, for the mock races.
So in those mock races, Edgar, were you the best? Did you win?
I think I went like two of them. Yeah, I did pretty good. Manuel Franco and Victor Carrasco, they won most of them, to be honest.
But hey, it taught you a lot. And then after the 2 years, when you graduated, did you feel completely ready to start riding races?
Not really. It's just, you never start racing ready. It's not the same when you go ride against experienced riders and people that are going to the race knowing what they're doing, not only like in a practice race, that you just go in a race just to ride. It's not like you have a plan of what you're doing. It's a way big difference, especially when you come into the United States and you have the turf that we didn't have in Puerto Rico. It's a learning experience. And it took me a little bit to get used to the turf situation here, but then once you get the hang of it, it's an awesome surface to be riding on.
So you were not experienced riding on the grass prior to coming to the States?
Yeah, not at all.
Really?
We have no grass surface in Puerto Rico. So
really?
When you come here, it's just the first time you ever ride on the grass, yes.
I did not know that. And that's definitely a big difference. Now, describe to our listeners a little bit about the differences between riding on the dirt versus the grass.
Yes, it's a way big difference because you got to have a better plan than on the dirt, and you got to reserve your horse and you got to keep him covered and you're all bunched up. It's all about the trip on the turf, really. You got to have the best trip. Whoever has the best trip is going to win the race. So, it's a way big difference than riding on the dirt, which is a fun surface to ride.
Jockey Edgar Zayas joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Edgar, you said you didn't ride in Puerto Rico at all. Instead, you came to the States. And what prompted that decision?
From when I got into jockey school, I always thought I just wanted to come to the United States and ride over here. Horse racing in Puerto Rico isn't that good, and the money is not the same over there. And I just wanted to have a good opportunity from the beginning. The opportunities in Puerto Rico are very limited for the jockey, so I just decided before I even ride over there, just come straight up here and try to find a place I could establish myself. And that's what I did, and I think I made the right choice. I never regret my decision.
Was that a hard process at all for you, leaving your family?
Yeah, of course. I came to the United States, and I came here alone. I had no family members that live here in Florida or anything. So I came in and just experimented, and it went awesome. And it was hard at the beginning, just being alone here and having to work and having to have your own place and a car and all that, but it just worked out perfect, and it teaches me a lot how to be very independent, for sure.
Now, is it true that Angel Cordero took you under his wing when you first arrived?
Yes, when I came here, I came with an agent called Jose La Torres, and it didn't work out good. I was with him like for 4 or 5 months. I didn't went to my races. Then I switched agents to Tito Fuentes, and I met Cordero with him, and he told me he wanted to help me. And yeah, we used to go to the jockey's room before every day before the races, and now we'll get on the horse, and he'll help me out with my position, and we can always, after the races, we'll talk to him, and he'll tell me, you know, what I did wrong and what I could have done. Yeah, he helped me a lot. It was an awesome experience. One of the best riders in horse racing history ever to, you know, help you out and have your back on it.
Angel Cordero, one of the greatest, and what I love about him is he is so willing to help new and young riders. He helped myself back in the day. And what was the best advice he gave you?
Just how you win races, just not with how strong you are, and not just how you like study the race and outsmart the other rider. And that's how Cordero used to ride. You know, he just went into racetrack and he knew what he was doing, and he knew what all the jocks were doing. So he came in with a plan, and I just watched a lot of races with him, and how smart he is on the track. It was just amazing. So he tried to get into my mind, you know, not come always with a plan for race and try to be a step ahead of everyone.
Try to be a step above everyone. I love it, Edgar. Now, you said when you first arrived, you had an agent you didn't really have a lot of success with. Then you took Tito, who's your current agent, and obviously you guys had much more success. You were actually a finalist for the Outstanding Eclipse Award for Apprentice in 2013. Who won that year? Victor Carrasco.
That had to
be annoying, right?
Yeah, and actually, I'm not sure, but I think it might be the first time that from the same class were the three finalists. It was me, Victor Carrasco, and Manuel Franco.
Wow.
We were finalists for the Eclipse Award. We were all graduates in the same class.
Pretty incredible, Edgar. Now, when you first arrived to the States, was that also a culture shock for you? You mentioned the school had an English class, but did you feel comfortable speaking the language?
Yeah, I already am pretty good. Most of the people already speak a little bit English, and it took me a while to try to get more fluent with it. But after some time, I started getting a little better. And my wife is American, so she definitely helped me a lot when I met her, because I had to be talking with her English all the time. So that was a big help, most of the help. And at the same time, here in Florida, in South Florida, there's a lot of people who speak Spanish. So you really don't use the English that much.
Now, as far as riding goes, and you said in Puerto Rico, riding against the students, that's a lot different than riding against professionals. Was that tough for you to get used to there in the beginning?
Yeah, but I already came with that mentality that, you know, I just wanted to be better and better every time, and I just came with that mentality of trying to be smart as I can and try to learn from everyone. I feel like you always have something to learn from every rider. There's something always good to learn, and every day you learn. And I came here and I just started watching the riders and studying how they ride and wanting to learn more and more every time.
Well, it worked out well for you, Edgar, that year after you first arrived, 2013, you won your first graded stakes victory, but not just any graded stakes victory, a grade one victory in the Princess Rooney Handicap with Starship Truffles. You paid $18 that day. Came just off the pace, going 6 furlongs for Marty Wolfson. Tell us about that day.
Oh, it was an incredible day. I really as a bug boy, and in Puerto Rico, we don't have like that graded one, graded two, graded three category. Like, it's just an amazing, like, I came into the races that day, and I wasn't like sure how big of a deal was like that grade one. And I had that good opportunity with Marty Wolfson gave me on that Philly Starship Truffles, and I know it was a tough race because that Philly for Wesley Ward was in the race on Beauty the Beauty, that she was the British Cup winner that year, and it just gives you, you know, an understanding of how the racing works. And that day, Beauty the Beauty didn't break good out of the gate, and she stayed in the gate, and I just got the jump on her, and by the time she just came running, it was too late. It was just an incredible moment.
And were you still a bug at that point?
Yes, I was still a bug.
For those listening who don't realize what a big deal that is, as a bug rider, you're not going to get the weight allowance in a graded stakes victory. So even more important there that Edgar Zayas was aboard that victory aboard Starship Truffles in the Grade 1 Princess Rooney Handicap. Folks, we have to take a very quick commercial break. Stay with us. We're here with Edgar Zayas. You're listening to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
They're straightened away, and it's Starship Truffles and Edgar Zayas clear at the eighth pole. Starship Truffles implored by Zayas to keep going. Judy the Beauty runs second. My pal Chrissy late on the scene. But Starship Truffles is going to blitz him in the grade one Princess Rooney. Judy the Beauty second best. My pal Chrissy third. And Holiday Soiree.
Welcome back to Jonk Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigal, and I am joined this evening by jockey Edgar Zayas. Edgar, we just heard the replay of the race we were talking about earlier. Starship Truffles and the Princess Rooney Handicap, the grade one Princess Rooney. That has to bring back memories, listening to that replay. That had to be an amazing feeling, winning your first graded stakes, a grade one.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an awesome feeling, and I just still remember that day like it was yesterday. And I'm very lucky and very blessed, and I'm very happy for the opportunity that Miller Racing and Artie Wilson gave me on that filly. And like I said earlier, it just brings me up how horse races are like. The favorite that day was Judy the Beauty, and she just completely stayed in the gate, and she with by the time she recuperated, she got the jump on her, and it's just anything can happen on a race. You always got to be positive going into a race.
I always say you got to be in it to win it. Anything can happen. Anyone can win. Now, as a rider, do you have that confidence? If you're 30-1, Edgar, do you still have that same confidence going out on the track?
Absolutely, all the time. If you're in the race, you got a shot to win it. So, like I said, anything can really happen. You know, it just because the horse is the favorite, it doesn't mean most of the time it's the best horse of the race. It's just all about the trip and what could happen in the race. And the gate, and right after the gate, or the horse can stumble, and you know, things could happen, and just gotta be in it to win it.
I love it, Edgar. Now, do you think that horses can sense that confidence?
I think so. I think the horses really can feel that you're confident in them, and they have that feeling, because definitely if you go into a race and you have no hopes on the horse, it's just. It, nothing's going to happen, really. You just got to have that hope that you could win the race all the time, and that's when good things are going to happen. So you always got to stay positive on the horse, no matter if it's a 99-1 shot or even money. Horse is just got to be positive and aggressive all the time and just ride in like a winner all the time.
Now, Edgar, how would you describe your riding style?
I think I'm a little bit, I'm pretty even, a little aggressive, but spend time a little passive on horses, and I think it's a good combination. Sometimes I'm over aggressive on horses, but I think I'm most of it aggressive on horses. Like, I like to be close to the pace. I don't want to be sitting so far behind. I just like to be on the race, at least stalking the pace or just sitting third or fourth. I think it's a great position. If I'm in the horse, I send the horse, and the horse goes to the lead. It's awesome, you know. I just, like, wherever the horse feels comfortable, and I'm not a fan of being so far off the race that just gets the horse so much to the.
Now, do you, and I have an opinion on this, we'll be interested to hear your response to this question. Do you feel like you're better on the dirt or the grass?
I feel like at one point I was way better on the dirt, and I just feel the most experience I've been getting on the turf, I'm just getting even better and better on the turf. And at this point, when I left, I think I was a little better on the dirt than than on the dirt. For sure.
Yeah, I definitely think you're a very good grass rider, Edgar. I love the way you ride the turf, and I think it takes even more talent to be a good turf rider. So I think you do an excellent job at that. It was interesting to hear you didn't even learn on the grass. So that's you took to it quickly.
Yeah, for sure. It's a learning experience on the turf, and the more experience you get on the turf, the better you're going to get if you put your mindset on getting better.
Joggy Edgar Zayas joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So after you won the Grade 1 in 2013, your very first graded stakes victory, and then you lost the bug, did you have any kind of any difficulties picking up business without that weight allowance?
Not at all. I lost the bug, and the next day I just won 4 races that day without my bug, and it just all kept on going for that. I think the next year without a bug, I won more races than when I won as a bug. So it was really no difference, and I just kept working hard and just kept being the same you know, guy and same jockey, and just try to get better every time. Even if you lose the bug, doesn't mean you're going to stop learning. Like I say, you learn every day. Even when you have years of experience, you're going to learn from every rider every day.
For me personally, when I lost the bug, it was a relief because I'm tall and I struggled with my weight. I felt stronger after losing the bug. For you, did you experience something similar? Was it easier for you to make weight without that weight allowance?
Yeah, for sure. I never had a problem with my weight as a bug. So after when I lost the bug, I just kept the same diet. I just didn't have problems with it. So I understand your point for sure. It's just a relief, a big relief for people that, you know, it's hard to make the weight.
What is your daily diet?
Well, I just have breakfast in the morning, good breakfast, and I just have a good dinner. Just and through the day, all I have is water, nothing else.
But you don't have to worry about it too much then?
No, I don't have to worry about what I eat or anything. I just have that routine, and that's it. In the morning, I have like a good breakfast, and then during the day, I don't have anything, just water. And then during the night, I can have whatever I want for dinner. And at the same time, when I ride 8-9 horses every day, just you need all that food, you know, to burn, especially here in the summer.
Yeah, you sweat a lot in that Florida heat.
Oh yeah, it gets bad down here.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. My gosh. Now, so you don't really have to worry about your diet. Now, when you're riding on a regular basis, as you mentioned, 7, 8, 9 races a day, do you have to do anything else? Do you ever go running or work out in addition to that? I wouldn't think so.
No, I just work out horses in the morning, and after I just work out in the afternoon, and that's about it. Yeah, there's not much time to work out.
I've pretty much been stationed there in Florida, mostly Gulfstream. And shipping to Calder, of course, and Gulfstream Park West now. Have you shipped anywhere else?
Yeah, I've been to New York, California, and I went to Dubai once with Charles Sticca. And I've shipped to Maryland, and I've been to a lot of tracks, Churchill Downs, and that's what I just try to station here. And, you know, when I get, like, some horses that are shipping out of town, I try to go in with them.
What's your favorite racetrack?
I love Calder's surface. It's one of the best.
Really?
Yeah, especially when it rains, it's just one of the best surfaces, I think.
Now, you mentioned Dubai. What was that experience like?
It was an awesome experience. It was an amazing experience. It's a beautiful track, and the horse did a great job. We had a great job that day that we ran, and I think it was a nice horse. He was a very nice horse, Trevor Sicker.
Where did you finish in the race?
Finished third.
Third.
And Godolphin Mile.
In the Godolphin Mile.
Yes.
What's it like, the culture, as far as racing goes? Do a lot of people come out for the races in Dubai?
Oh, yeah. The track, well, I don't know on a day, everyday basis, but that day of the Dubai World Cup, it was very crowded. It's a lot of people, and it looks like people just love horse racing over there. wherever you go, you can see, you know, the Godolphin signs and all that. It was an amazing experience.
Did you get a chance to check out the area at all?
Yeah, I did. I went a couple of days earlier, and I went around and checked out the area. It's a beautiful city. It's amazing.
I've heard from other people they have crazy things like ski slopes in the mall and just kind of bizarre, crazy things like that. Did you ever see anything crazy there?
Yeah, I got to do that, and they have all those kind of nice stuff in the malls, and skis and snowboarding and snow. It's awesome. It's like all a different world.
And of course, Sharp Azteca, you rode to a third place finish there. The horse had a little bit of trouble at the start, is that right?
Yeah, he had a little bit of trouble at the start. Then at the end, he just got caught just close to the wire.
But he
ran an awesome race. It was an awesome horse.
Yeah, you've had success with Sharp Azteca in the past, actually. Won the Pat Day Mile, the Grade 3 Pat Day Mile in 2016 on the Derby undercard, and then the 2017 Grade 2 Hardacre Mile at Gulfstream Park. And nice, nice horse. How did you get that mount?
I was working a lot of horses for Navarro, and before he started running as a two-year-old, I started working him, and I knew it was a nice horse. I told Navarro, you know, it was an amazing horse, and I got to ride him first time out, and I remember he finished second behind Zulu. When Zulu was supposed to be a nice two-year-old, I think, as a two-year-old, Zulu beat him first time out. And then the second time out he ran no good, but that day he was a little sick. And then for his third start, he came back and he won. Then he won the two other Dan, and he just won like four races in a row, including the top 8 mile. And just kept riding him from there. I rode the Pat Day Mile with him. I won a 7 furlong stake at Maryland with him, and he finished second in the Malibu at California. I remember Mind Your Biscuits beat him. He was an amazing horse. He was an incredible horse.
8 wins out of 17 starts for Sharp Azteca. Almost $2.5 million in earnings for that horse. What was he like to ride?
He was amazing because he was a great break. He break good, and he just could sit there and stalk the pace the whole race. And he put the pressure on any horse, and he would just keep on going with him, and he had no problem. It's just like he was incredible. He loved the challenge, and every time he ran, he was always in the money. Or he'll finish first or second. I think he probably only was out of money 2 times in his life, probably. And that was about it. Other than that, he was all the time on the board. He was an amazing horse. Incredible horse, no matter who you put him against.
Well, let's take a second here to listen to Edgar Zayas' victory aboard Sharp Azteca in the Grade 3 Pat Day Mile.
Then it's Star Hill, who comes wide in seventh at the top of the stretch. Unbridled Outlaw tried to cut the corner, heading for the final furlong. And it's Sharp Azteca, who's got a 5-length lead and 1 furlong to go. Fellowship moves into second on the outside with Star Hill. Forevermo slicing through the pack, coming up the rail. Time is running out, though. Sharp Azteca's well cleared down to the finish. Sharp Azteca wins the Pat Day Mile impressively over Forevermo, Star Hill, Fellowship, and Looking for a Kiss.
Exciting race there, Edgar. That was on Derby Day in 2016. Yes. Can't imagine the crowd that turned out.
Oh, yeah, that was an awesome experience. There was just so many people that day. And going into a race, I wasn't sure what really was going to happen. I knew he was a nice horse, but I know there's a lot of good horses in that race. Like, for example, that Forever Mo and Perry O'Han was in that race, and it was a very tough race. And he came from just winning a couple allowance races at Gulfstream, and I knew he could run. I just didn't know, you know, what category he could go in. And he showed that he was the best going that 1 mile that year, and he was amazing. It was an amazing experience with all those people at Derby Day, and I'm glad, you know, I got to ride him.
Have you ever ridden in the Derby?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm hoping soon.
Did that make you crave it even more to be there at Churchill Downs on Derby Day?
Oh, for sure, yeah. That day, I just wish I would have been at least one ride in the Derby.
Well, we'll see you there on the first Saturday in May soon, Edgar. But let's talk about another nice horse you had the pleasure of riding in the past, Gunnavera. You rode Gunnavera, who's a familiar name to those in racing. Rode Gunnavera to a second-place finish in the 2017 Travers at Saratoga. You paid $18 to place that day. You also rode him to a second-place finish in the Woodward at Saratoga in 2018. He hasn't won since that day. What was Gunnavera like to ride?
He's very awesome to ride. You know, his whole horse that you just got to break out of the gate and just let him relax wherever he settles and just do one run with him. He always likes to be in the clear. He's just very unlucky. And, you know, the horse is always going to show up. It's just so hard for him to win a race. It's just everything has to go his way for him to win. But he's a very consistent, amazing horse. And I think he's going to run a good race this year at Dubai. And I think it was an amazing experience to ride him. I got to ride him in the Breeders' Cup Classic when Gunrunner won it.
That's right. I was going to mention the Breeders' Cup. That had to be a thrilling experience. That was, I believe, at Del Mar.
Yeah, it was at Del Mar. Del Mar.
And what was it like, that experience in the Breeders' Cup Classic of all races, shipping to California? What was that like for you?
It was great. I know I wasn't a fan of that racetrack, especially for a horse like him that comes from way off the pace, and I don't think he liked that track too much that day. And he ran an okay race. He didn't show up like he normally does. But I know that, you know, he could have run better against those horses if it was a different track. It was just a too fast track for him.
Edgar, you have 9 graded stakes victories under your belt. It's already talked about the Princess Rooney, the Pat Day Mile, the Heartacre Mile, several others to name here. Which one stands out the most in your memory?
I think it's between the Princess Rooney and the Pat Day Mile. The Princess Rooney, because it's just the first grade one, is the grade one, and especially as a bug boy, but the experience of the Pat Day Mile being Kentucky Derby Day, I think that was the most special one, really.
Well, we chose 2 good ones to talk about then, Edgar. Yeah. Now, you did win 2 graded stakes races for Todd Pletcher with Isabella Sings in the Grade 3 My Charmer Handicap and Chad Brown in the Grade 3 Sweetest Chance Stakes with Consumer Credit. Is it for you, is it a little nerve-wracking going out there to ride for such a big name, some of the greatest trainers in racing?
Yeah, at the beginning it was. After you start riding for them a little bit more, you start getting better. And it's just even better because when you're nervous, you just can't perform like you do when you're, you know, calm. And my top pleasure has given me a bunch of good opportunities, and I'm so glad for it. And Chad Brown gave me some opportunities that year with Consumer Credit, and I think that day I won another race when I think Top Pleasure is an awesome guy, and he always tries to give opportunity to whoever he can. And I'm glad to be able to say that I won a great stake for him. It was awesome.
Another nice horse we're going to spend a few minutes talking about here, Edgar, is Pay Any Price. Really nice horse. 16 wins out of 27 starts. How did you get the mount?
I ride a lot for that trainer, and it's a speed horse, and he knows I'm pretty good. I fight for him since with speed horses, and the day he claimed that horse, he told my agent he wanted me to ride that horse. And, he was a little crazy horse at the beginning. He had to work out a lot with him to get him to relax a little bit. Once he got him to relax, that horse was an amazing horse. He is so fast, and even at his age, he still keeps performing like incredible. And that day that he broke that track record, that I think he did 53 seconds for five furlongs, I felt like that horse never stopped running. It was like every time I asked him, he was just keep giving me more and more and more. It was so awesome. I think he's an incredible horse. He's just getting already to his age, and it's getting a little bit hard to compete against those young horses like Royal Trouble and those sprint horses that Jason Service has.
Yeah, when you rode this horse to four victories in a row, and every time he's winning so easily in 53 seconds, my gosh, that is fast. He's 9 years old, still running very, very well. And whenever you won that handicap at Gulfstream in September of last year, you carried 130 pounds.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. I don't know if I've ever even seen that. And did you notice that? Could you feel that he was carrying more weight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was a little harder for him. He still got the job done because he's all heart. But I remember on the top of the stretch, he was the horse that was sitting second behind me, Phantom Roll. He was right on me, and I was like already starting to ride, pay any price. And I was like, geez, it was taking him a little bit to take off. It was hitting him a little bit, especially at the end. He kind of like felt it even more, but it just didn't hold him back. He's an incredible horse because at that age and still winning races and still running as fast as he can, it's amazing.
Pay any price. He ran third last out just earlier this month, actually, at Gulfstream Park. You'll have to try to get that mount back, Edgard, when you return to the saddle. I think he definitely likes you in the irons. Now, we only have a couple minutes left here on the show. I want to talk about a milestone in your career. You won your 1,000th race not too awfully long ago. Do you remember what day that was?
Not exactly. Don't remember exactly what day it was.
I think you were aboard Highborn?
Yeah, Highborn. I remember it was aboard Highborn.
And was your family out there for the race?
Yeah. My family was up here for my 1,000 career win, and it was taking a little bit during the day. I wasn't expecting it with Highborn. I thought it was going to be with a different horse, and that horse didn't work out, and I was like, well, I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow. You'll have to come tomorrow again, and Highborn came and won that race, and it was awesome. It was a great memory and a huge milestone, really, because I don't have so many years and already have 1,000 career wins. It was an amazing moment. You know, it's a different moment than winning a great race, but it's just awesome to, you know, that you accomplished that milestone. It's amazing. I just can't wait for the 2,000, hopefully.
That'll be right around the corner the way you're going, Edgar. Like you mentioned, you came to the States in 2012. You've already won 1,000 races. I believe that was back in 2017 as well, if I'm doing my research right here. So now, yeah, it didn't take you too long to get to 1,000. What other goals do you have for yourself?
Well, hopefully you ride in the Kentucky Derby and like any other dream, just win the Kentucky Derby. That'll be an amazing moment, and I know it's going to come that day.
Do you have aspirations to ride based somewhere else, maybe New York or Kentucky?
Yeah, sure. I've thought about it, and I'm, probably in some other year, another time, I'll probably try, you know, something different up north. And I think it's a better opportunity to get on to better trails and get better clients for Kentucky Derby horses. And it's a step I need to do soon.
Only about 2 minutes left here, Edgar. What do you do for fun when you're not working or recovering? What do you do in your spare time?
I just try to spend time with my family. We go out to the park, take a little girl, and spend time with my wife. And we just do things together as a family. That's really what we do in our spare time. And that's what I really enjoy to do.
I heard you also build drones.
Yeah, I love to work on drones and fly them around the house and all that. But now since I have a little girl, it's just harder to find that time. I just have to spend time with her and keep her busy.
So drones like the kind that fly in the air?
Yeah, like those.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. What would you say if your daughter decided to become a jockey?
I won't be a fan of it.
You wouldn't be a fan of it?
Not at all.
Oh, no. Well, we'll see what happens. Lily might.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Decide to do something else.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very hard business to be in it.
What's the hardest part of it?
Just got to work so hard and just risk your life every day. As a dad now, I can see I just would not be able to imagine my daughter, being a spay or things like that. It's just you're in it, you know one day it's gonna happen, and it's just hard to see someone that you love going through that pain. I just don't want it at all.
Well, Edgar, we are happy to hear that you are soon to be no longer in pain. You're making a comeback very soon. The first part of April, folks. You heard it here first. Edgar, can't thank you enough. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you, and thank you for having me in the show, and hope you all have a good day.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.